So do you want to speak or ask?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and, I guess I'll respond. And then after that, if you want to continue speaking or if you want to ask a question, your choice. But if we do get to questions again, you should be the one to ask the first one since I did ask last.
Okay. Whatever you want. I don't care. Go ahead.
No, I'll go ahead and I'll respond.
All right.
Responding to your previous statement for the declaring pastors in the Church of Christ an individual that is not part of the Catholic faith. In examining the term pastor, we must realize that a pastor is a shepherd over people that follow him. In calling an individual a pastor, Benedict or any other Catholic calls a person a pastor that is not part of the faith, they're not referring to the individual being a shepherd over the Catholics. They're simply referring to him to being a shepherd over those that follow him. And an individual that holds partial truth to the faith can be, that's clearly shown over and over, they can be ignorant to other doctrines of the faith. And it would not be wise, it would not be in tune with the biblical usage of the term in Titus 3 to label that individual a heretic, unless, of course, the person knows the truth completely and they continue to be obstinate in the truth or continue to hold partial articles of the faith, even if they know the faith fully. Such as, let's say, a pastor recognizes papacy as an article of faith, which it indeed is an article of faith. We don't even need to read any ecumenical decrees. We know that from Matthew chapter 16, John, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Luke. If an individual knows full well papacy is an article of faith, and they continue denying it, then indeed that person cannot be saved. And as such, any Orthodox that are aware of it, the truth, continue denying it, they cannot be saved. But once again, none of the arguments that are being put before them, are cold water. They're all very weak arguments because none of these individuals can be labeled heretics towards certain individuals that you brought up. Because if they know the truth fully, it's really doubtful if they would continue believing as they do believe. But Benedict doesn't use the term pastor in the biblical sense of clarinet, in the sense of a pastor over the Catholic faith. I just want to reiterate that one more time in case you're confused about that.
Okay, my turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he calls them pastors in the Church of Christ. Okay, it's very clear. It says the excommunications against them are revoked. John Paul II said that so many times that we have a whole list of the quotes. He speaks of on 2005, he spoke of the schismatic patriarch Maxim, the Orthodox Church of Bulgaria. He expressed him his best wishes and for the happy resumption of his ministry. Okay, so he believes he has a ministry. He spoke of the schismatic Christodoulos, Archbishop, quote, of Athens and all Greece, schismatic, rejects the papacy. He speaks of how he has the demanding service that the Lord entrusted to his care. So he says that the Lord has entrusted these people to him. He constantly speaks of these heretical schismatic bishops who hold no jurisdiction as having the faithful entrusted to them. That is blatantly heretical. It mocks the papacy. It mocks the saints. That's why Leo XIII says that these bishops, separated from Peter and successors, lose jurisdiction. They are therefore outside the edifice itself. It's never been heard of in Catholic history. It's a total novelty. He speaks of it all the time. He says that he loves the Orthodox Church. He loves the Schismatic Church. He's constantly talking about how great the schismatics are, how much he respects their ministry, etc. But the bottom line is the Church does not teach that an individual rejects the papacy can be in the communion partially with the Church. That is not Catholic teaching, as I was quoting at the end of the last section there. Pius IX, Amatissimus, says, all who want to belong to the true and only Church of Christ must honor and obey this apostolic see of the Roman Pontiff. Pius VI, Caritas, for no one can be in the Church without being in unity with its visible head. Okay, that is contrary to the teaching of Vatican II and the teaching of Benedict XVI. And so it's just a fact. And the concept, you say that you believe the papacy is an article of faith, but you don't, because you believe people who reject it can be in the Church, partially. I believe my time's up, right?
Yeah. I'll probably take about 45 seconds so I can get water. Is that all right?
Okay.
Are we going to continue for a bit more on the two-minute responses, or do you want to go into questions?
You know, we could. At some point, we're going to have to move to closing statements, because it has...
In how long do you want to move to closing statements?
We could pretty soon. I mean, it has been about 3 hours. I mean, we could... Maybe a few more sessions, and then,
okay. So you don't want to go into the questions anymore?
I don't. I mean,
that
I don't.
Really matter to me.
Yeah, we could just keep talking. 2 minutes
okay.
each.
Okay, no problem.
A couple more sessions.
All right. Okay, no problem. In response to certain stuff that you said, responding to the fact that you that an individual that is outside of the church has even ministry. Indeed, an individual does have a ministry, can have a ministry that is outside of the church. Numerous individuals have ministries. This is not claiming that this ministry is completely orthodox in any manner whatsoever. Bishops that are separated from the papacy are outside of the church. But this is in reference to those that were part of the Catholic faith and have separated themselves. And the bishop is part of the Catholic faith, and they have separated themselves, realizing the Catholic faith is the faith of God is blessed. They are completely outside of the church. And they must repent. The Orthodox of today are specifically at variance to the teachings of papacy, and as such, you wouldn't even view them as valid bishops, which goes contrary to what you're saying and to what the Pope is saying in the quote that you mentioned. The papacy is indeed an article of faith. I never once denied that it was an article of faith. And once more, a person that is outside of the fullness of the faith can hold certain teachings of the faith and ignorantly reject others. Indeed, not all of the Orthodox reject the primacy of the Pope. There are numerous statements made by John Meyendorf, who's an Orthodox scholar, and as well as numerous statements made by Callistus Ware, which is another Orthodox scholar, two prominent Orthodox scholars teach about the primacy of Peter. Whereas we would not go as far as to believing in the infallibility of the Pope, they recognize that Peter does have a primacy, as is evident in the Bible. But once again, such an individual as them really does not fill the biblical mandate of Titus 3 to be able to name this to label this individual a heretic. There are certain comments that are indeed made by many Orthodox that show that these simply are ignorant of the teachings. And if an individual is ignorant, it's not possible that they can hold the fullness of the faith. And as such, there simply is no possible way of condemning an ignorant individual. That would be against the biblical mandate of the term heretic.
Okay, my turn. Well, yeah, I think you illustrated the fact that you do not accept the papacy in that last statement. You're basically expressing John Meindorf's opinion as if it's, you know, something that's maybe acceptable. I've read his book, The Primacy of Peter, or the book he compiled from different authors, and he does not believe in the primacy of supreme jurisdiction. That's the point. That's the point. The Orthodox believe that Peter had some form of primacy, but they reject that Peter had a universal primacy of jurisdiction. And that's what Vatican I condemns. It says if anyone denies that Peter has perpetual successors in the primacy of jurisdiction, he is anathema. He is outside the church. He's a schismatic and a heretic. And so that's not what your sect teaches. Paul VI, but you basically were sort of justifying his position or saying that it's, you know, halfway there, therefore he's partially in the church. No, he's outside the church. Paul VI, illustrating the point, they don't just believe they have some old ministry. They believe it's a good ministry. They believe it's from God. Paul VI, address, 1972, greet among us the eminent representatives of the venerable Orthodox Church, a man of great piety. So he says that their church, their schismatic construction is venerable, and he says that the guy who's leading these sheep away from the faith is a man of great piety. That is schismatic and heretical. He says the same thing addressed to schismatic delegation, 1977. We played a visit to your holy church. General audience, 1971. The venerable Eastern Orthodox churches. Speaking of the death of the schismatic patriarch Athenagoras, who obstinately rejected the papacy, he said, we recommend this great man to you, a man of a venerated church. Mutual respect for each other and each other's church. And he speaks of lifting the excommunications against them, etc. And so I think I have about 15 seconds. And they say this so many times. I mean, we have so many quotes on this, and Brother Michael's gone through every speech in the last 40 years. I mean, it's just a tidal wave of quotes praising the Orthodox, schismatics. So that's 2 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and respond.
Okay.
Okay. In response to what you just said, it is true. If anyone denies that Peter has perpetual successes, they are indeed outside of the church. But once again, unless you can demolish, which you can't, the teaching of invincible ignorance, since you can't even deal with the biblical text, and in fact, you abuse it, you can't deal with the term too far, and as such, I think your arguments are worthless. If you actually show me where the biblical term too far is rescinded, the term for ignorance, is rescinded, them being blind, then maybe your arguments would have some validity to them. But it is a biblical truth that an individual can be ignorant to the truth or even to the fullness of the truth. And as such, it would be irresponsible to label an individual a heretic. And once more, it would be going against Titus 3, John 9. And as such, to claim that an individual is in sin, I simply don't understand where you would be getting, where you can claim such authority to call somebody a sinner. And even if you realize that an individual is ignorant to the truth, you would still label them as a heretic and a sinner and as one that has no opportunity whatsoever of being saved. And as such, so we can tell your interpretation of Revelation, Titus, John, each time you attempt to deal with a biblical text, it really is your enemy. I mean, you're able to quote all these papal documents and doctrines of the church, and as such, all you're really doing is reading into them, of course. But when it comes to the biblical text, I guess maybe you haven't studied that enough to be able to read into it. You seem to be completely lost. And maybe you need to do a little bit more studying on the what invincible ignorance just is. And I guess if you examine it and you come to an understanding of Titus 3, we can see how illogical and how out of line and out of the biblical norm it would be to label the individuals that you labeled heretics as heretics. Completely goes against the biblical and historical Catholic mandate.
Well, yeah, according to your heretical understanding of invincible ignorance, Protestants who attack Catholic teaching and study it to try to refute it could be in good faith, and Jews who've heard of Christ but maybe aren't convinced of, you know, him could be in good faith. And so you, frankly, have taken a heretical understanding of invincible ignorance to its apostate conclusion, and I already quoted all kinds of things on ignorance, how there are certain mysteries of faith which you must know and believe to be saved. And according to you, St. Robert Bellarmine was completely in the dark on the biblical text because he directly contradicts your completely false and irrelevant rehashing of your misunderstanding of Titus 3:10. According to him, he doesn't know what he's talking about either. And according to you. And also, all of this about invincible ignorance is completely irrelevant to the point we're talking about, because we're talking about Eastern, quote, Orthodox patriarchs who know of Catholic teaching, who meet with the anti-pope. They meet with him. They pray with him. They are friends with him, okay? So, again, your attempt to exonerate them because they have, quote, invincible ignorance, it's insane. They're not ignorant of Catholic teaching. Even if you were going to try to admit of that concept, which your teaching on it is heretical, they're not ignorant. And he says he loves their church, he loves their ministry, they're blessed, they're great piety, they're in the church, they're pastors in the Church of Christ, they don't have to accept Vatican I, and on and on and on. He does not believe that they need to accept the Catholic faith. That's a fact. Anyone who denied is a liar. Do you know how much time I have?
30 seconds.
And getting back to some of the other heresies on Islam, the Church teaches that Islam is a diabolical religion. Okay, that was taught by Pope Calixtus III. Pope Eugene IV said it's an abominable sect. These guys say it's good. Benedict XVI address, December 22, 2006. My visit to Turkey afforded me the opportunity to show also publicly my respect for the Islamic religion, a respect, moreover, which the Second Vatican Council pointed out to us. That is heresy, and he's saying that that's the teaching of Vatican II. That alone would prove he's an apostate. He calls the Quran a holy book. He says he respects it. So,
I'm going to go ahead and respond now.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll respond one more, and then did you want to move to closing statements?
Yeah, I guess, you can respond one more time, and then I guess...
Unless you wanted to go on a little bit longer.
If I could get the opportunity to... Well, I don't know if it would be fair if I could at least respond last, since you're going to be spoke first and you're going to be speaking last. Would that be all right with you?
No, because you agreed in advance that I would speak last.
No. You're missing what I'm saying. I'm talking about if I would be able to respond last, and then I can do my closing. You can speak last. I'm not talking about speaking last. I agree. You're going to be speaking last. Like in other words, you know, we're doing 2-minute responses. Maybe I can do the final 2-minute response, and I can close, and then you can close. I can give you more time if you'd like as well. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Well, maybe you could. Yeah, you did ask the first question, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And so I don't know who asked the last question, but...
I think you asked the last one.
All right, fine. If you want to respond, and then we'll go to closing statements.
You want to do that right now?
Or...
You wanted to respond a couple more times.
Okay, we'll respond a couple more times.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, I'll start already then.
All right.
All right. Going into what you're saying about St. Robert Bellarmine, Bellarmine actually goes against what you're teaching. He actually said, this is quoting the exact portion you quoted, "So in the first place, it is proven with arguments from authority and from reason that the manifest heretic is ipso facto deposed." Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard a lot of static. Manifest heretic is ipso facto deposed. The argument from authority is based on St. Paul, and then he points out Titus 3. And then he says, "Who orders that a heretic be avoided after two warnings, that is, after showing himself to be manifestly obstinate, which means before any excommunication or judicial sentence." This is a clear understanding of the text, and I completely agree with what Bellarmine is saying. As one definitely a heretic, and indeed if we examine the biblical text, we find the usage of heretic being labeled, he's actually called a heretic, because, as to being admonished, he continues being obstinate. And one is a heretic after they've been warned twice. Indeed, the biblical text is whether it says once or twice, really the biblical, the Greek here is deuteros, and it can be numerous times. It's just merely showing that a person that is confronted numerous times, which is a message that is attempting to clarify, and that individual continues being obstinate, as Bellarmine said, this individual should be warned. And as such, this really goes against anything that you've been saying the whole time. You say you don't need to give any warnings. You don't need to confront any individual, or you basically can abandon the model of Titus 3 and you can label anybody a manifest heretic. And as such, I think your arguments are silly. The way you read into Robert Bellarmine is simply abusive, and I can't really support any of the logical readings. And I really don't think you can handle any of the fathers, doctors, or the biblical text in a logical manner.
Okay, my response, you've proven yourself to just be totally dishonest. What you're saying is so stupid. He says, "It is proven with arguments from authority and from reason that the manifest heretic is ipso facto deposed." That means by that very fact. "The argument from authority is based on St. Paul, Titus 3:10, who orders that the heretic be avoided after two warnings, that is, after showing himself to be manifestly obstinate, which means before any excommunication or judicial sentence." So he understands the two warnings to mean showing himself to be obstinate, showing himself to know of Catholic teaching, and rejects it, okay? It's not saying any official warning. That's why he says before any excommunication or judicial sentence. That's the official warning. That's the official proclamation. That's the official judgment. So he interprets, he understands what St. Paul means when he says, after two warnings, that is, after showing himself to be obstinate. Benedict XVI's obstinate, of course. He knows of Vatican I. He's read it. He knows of the Council of Florence. He's read it. I've read 25 of his books. He's very familiar with these teachings. And in Principles of Catholic Theology, he specifically says that the maximum demand of the Catholic Church on the Orthodox would be that they submit to the definition of Vatican I in 1870. Okay? And he says, but none of the maximum solutions offers any real hope of unity. That's not the way to unity, according to him, for them to accept Vatican I. So he's blatantly rejecting Vatican I. He's showing himself to be manifestly obstinate. Okay? He knows of Catholic teaching, and he rejects it. And that is also why, as I said, their esteeming of false religions is utter apostasy. They not only esteem the members of false religions, they esteem and respect the religions themselves constantly. Do you know how much time I have?
7 seconds.
And so, I'll just, your turn.
Okay. Do you want to, how much longer do you want to go? Do you want me to respond? Do you respond? How are we going to do it?
I think we could just move to closing statements now.
Okay. I thought that I was going to get a chance to respond last, then close, and then you were going to close.
Okay, why exactly do you get that?
The reason I was asking is because you were afforded the ability to open and close. And
well, you sort of wanted me to open. Because
I said I didn't mind if you wanted to.
Yeah, and so I didn't want to forfeit anything else, but I opened because you said you sort of wanted me to.
I was suggesting because earlier you went into a two-minute rebuttal and then you started again, you talked 2 minutes. So
yeah, I think that you'd be getting an extra session there. And so...
even though you got an extra session earlier.
Well, that was only because you sort of wanted me to.
If you don't agree with it, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I have no problem.
Okay.
So do you want to go into closing already, or do you want? How about we do one more 2 minute and then we go into closing? I guess I can 2 minutes. You can respond and then we can close.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Yes. Once more, we'll go right back to Robert Bellarmine and the fact that he goes completely against everything you're saying. Can't deal with what Robert Bellarmine says. This is Hadith Dereesh, indeed, speaks of a person being a heretic after an authority admonishes him. As such, the only usage of the term heretic in the New Testament is completely abused and taken out of context by you. You can't deal with it. You abuse Bellarmine by misunderstanding that he supports a literal reading of Titus 3, and indeed, I don't even need to read what Robert Bellarmine says. He basically agrees with what Titus 3 said, and he points out St. Paul's usage of Titus 3, and Titus 3, the literal reading of it, basically tells us a clear understanding of the text is that one is indeed a heretic after being admonished or warned twice, many times, whatever form you want to use. And as such, you say the popes have been aware of Vatican I and all these teachings that they completely go against the teachings. I completely disagree. I don't think that they've made any decrees in which they deny the Catholic faith or they deny dogmatic teaching. I think you're reading into what they say definitely does. But then again, you've been shown as an incompetent exegete of the biblical text and the historical tradition in the church. I think until you can actually deal with Titus 3 and the other passages that I've presented, I think you can quote all the doctors of the church until you're blue in the face, and until you actually deal with the text and acknowledge the fact that you've ignorantly exegeted passages over and over, you're going to be going around in circles continuously until you realize that you're in error, which you won't. And as such, I can only say that there's nothing that I can do that's going to convince you unless you convince yourself by understanding the biblical mandate of what a heretic really is. And as such, you have not proven anything today.
Okay. Response that you said that he is saying that after an admonishment. So you blatantly misquoted St. Robert Bellarmine. You said he's saying that he is deposed and becomes a heretic after an admonishment. That is a lie. You just misrepresented the text. Anyone can hear the recording. He doesn't say that. He says that is after showing himself to be manifestly obstinate. So you prove yourself to be a liar. He didn't say after an admonishment. He said showing himself to be manifestly obstinate, as they have. So you don't know what you're talking about. And you're the one that said it's ridiculous to call prophets those who are in the New Testament era outside of the first century, when that is completely absurd. You're the one that said that the Council of Trent declares that this is my body, this is my blood, is all you need for consecration, when anyone who knows anything about that issue knows it didn't make any statement on that point. So you show your own profound ignorance and dangerous ignorance because you're saying this totally refutes our argument against the new mass, when you're clueless on the topic. And so bad will is really a sad thing, but we've seen it throughout history, and it's being exhibited once again here. Yeah, they don't deny any dogmas. Meanwhile, they're proving agreements such as the joint declaration with the Lutherans on justification, which says that the Council of Trent no longer applies to the Lutheran teaching, and that the remaining differences are no longer the occasion for doctrinal condemnations, with Benedict XVI admitting that Vatican II's teaching on religious liberty contradicts the authoritative teaching of Pope Pius IX. We have Cardinal, quote, Casper admitting your authority, the head of the, quote, Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, admitting that the traditional teaching on converting non-Catholics has been abandoned. But no, nothing's proven. No, it's not proven to a bad-willed liar. No, just like the Protestants who can hear countless scriptures proving that man is not justified by faith alone. And they'll never believe, because they're of bad will, they're of Satan. And just like Polycarp said to Saint, to Marsh, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so, closing statements?
Hello?
Okay. How about, what, 7 minutes? 8 minutes? So what do you want, 7 minutes for closings?
7 minutes is fine. That's fine, and I guess you can go 7 minutes right afterwards.
Yeah, and then that's it.
And that's it, yeah. Okay.
Okay, start now.
Fine. I guess a number of things that we've been able to see in today's, I guess, informal debate. It's a good debate, but I think it highlights a number of things and shows us that you're unable to deal with any of the biblical texts. you're ignorant of exactly what it's saying, and you go into quoting a bunch of doctors that, that they are tantamount to the inerrant word of God, and of course they are not. Been able to deal with the term episcopate, you might try to deal with it, but you really had no idea on earth what Psalms is even referring to. I doubt you can even reference what the Septuagint is saying there. So you really don't know what episcopate is talking about, and the fact that the Pope, that the office must be filled eventually. So your statements in one of your audio presentations is ridiculous. Your interpretation of Bellarmine over and over is beyond abusive and ridiculous. As I pointed out numerous times, Bellarmine did not need to say or use the term admonishment because the biblical text says that, and he uses the biblical text as an authority, and as such, I did not need to say that. And unfortunately, you were too incompetent to recognize that. And as far as the Council of Trent showing, I guess you're referring to some other video I've done or something, that this is my body, this is my blood, being all that is needed. I did say that in a previous video. I don't remember my exact words, but I have said that nowhere in this debate. But the truth can be borne out in the biblical text, which you cannot even come close to dealing with. In fact, in your closing, I'll sit back and I'll enjoy listening to you torture the biblical text because you probably won't even be able to deal with it. In dealing with the joint declaration of these particular Lutherans, another fact that you seem to not understand that there are various Lutheran or sects, these Lutheran individuals, this joint declaration does not support sola fide in the ancient understanding of the term. And I really don't think you probably have no understanding what sola fide even means because you continue talking over and over about it, really showing your incompetence in the term. I've studied the document. I'm a former Protestant. I know exactly what sola fide means. I've held to it before. And as such, I think your misrepresentation of what it actually is, it's really silly. And actually, you probably don't even understand what Trent was condemning. Anyhow, moving back to Trent, we don't even need to show Trent shows us this is my body and this is my blood is valid, even though the Catechism clearly shows this. What I would point to would be Luke 22:19, as showing this very fact that with the terms enlisted and the biblical Greek, I would recommend anybody read Luke 22:19 and the surrounding context. And I'd really love to see how you're able to do biblical gymnastics here, because you're pretty good at it, especially you're not good at it. But anyhow, the term used here, the terms enlisted in the biblical Greek, showing that these very terms are an enomnosis, a sacrifice, is enough to show us that this is my body and this is my blood produces a valid sacrifice. It would be interesting to see how you can deal with that. You'll probably go into quoting a bunch of doctors, which you believe are tantamount to quoting the inerrant word of God. And if you believe that I'm incompetent in my rendering of this verse, well, we can show that this verse has been infallibly defined by the Church. And if you're going to go against a verse that has been infallibly defined by Trent, well, then I guess you're your own authority, which you've shown already. I guess it would be wise for anybody that would hear this debate to listen to your responses. The fact that you can't even deal with any of the biblical Greek, you won't even be able to touch upon Luke 22. You can't touch upon Titus. You're utterly incompetent when you deal with Titus, John, and the meaning of the biblical terms show us that really you have no idea what you're talking about, and I think it would be wise to avoid your teachings. And I think we clearly saw that. You could clearly see you became uncomfortable when we brought up the Whore of Babylon argument. Couldn't deal with any of the comments used. I think you seemed to get lost once you realized that it would be silly to claim that the current Catholic Church that I am a part of persecuted and killed prophets and apostles. You claim that doesn't need to be brought up and what have you. I think you realized that it was really dumb. You know, silly that you even mentioned your audio program, but your audio program is still there. You've made a number of other claims, and I heard all of your audio programs. I've heard your audio programs, and I've heard your debates, and I simply don't understand how anybody can swallow any of the arguments you put forth. I guess nobody's presented Titus 3 to you before because you really had no idea how to deal with it. You continued reading different things into it. You couldn't even deal with Acts. You began to read the Douay Rheims translation, and you continued insisting on the translation being superstitious there, whereas we clearly see Paul telling them that they are very religious. Couldn't deal with any of the terms that I brought forth there. That was very interesting. I didn't think you were going to be able to deal with them. And as such, until you can actually touch upon the term in John 9, which is to Floyd, and the fact that it is definitely dealing with ignorance, once again, you cannot call anybody, since you are not an authority, you cannot call anybody that is ignorant damned to hell, basically. It would be going against the biblical mandate. The church definitely has not defined this verse, but regardless, the verse, there's no reading into it. I mean, I'm not reading into it, I'm basically reading it. All I'm doing is reading it. If somebody's blind, if they're truthful, they are ignorant and they have no sin. I mean, God tells us, we're not getting this from any doctor of the church and then viewing that as the inerrant word of God. God says this himself, and it'd be nice if you could be able to answer that away, but you're not going to be able to answer that away. You're going to continue quoting things about certain popes and labeling them anti-popes because you believe what they're doing is manifest heresy. But of course, you are no authority. You cannot simply follow the biblical mandate of Titus 3. That's no set of a concept that follows the Bible would actually be making these arguments. They're actually ignorant of the biblical text. They can read what they want into the text. It's simply not going to hold water. And as such, you were not able to deal with the fact that you've never once opposed anyone to their faith, or has anybody else, and that person has not continued. In fact, in a continuation, opposing them numerous times, the Greek word kuros, they have not been opposed numerous times and continue to be obstinate, as the verse tells us. We can clearly see why the person is a heretic. We examine it over and over, and we see the term hereticon anthropon, heretical man, and anthropon used for man in the accusative masculine form here. In other words, the form of the sentence shows us that the individual is in heresy for the very reason that he denies the truth after being a
Time's up.
Okay, there you
go. Okay, so I get 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, you've shown yourself to be an utter heretic who cannot even say that the Protestants who attack the Catholic faith are heretics. You take your heretical understanding of ignorance to its logical conclusion. You believe that people who reject the faith, the Orthodox, who reject the papacy, are inside the church. You also are the epitome of a blind spiritual fool. You don't even understand certain concepts of English grammar, which is fine. I look at the substance of what people say, but since you're such a phony and a fraud who presents himself as this super scholar when you're not, the fact that you don't even know the difference between IT apostrophe S and ITS, that is relevant. And you say things like, the Council of Trent declared that the words of consecration, all you need is, this is my body, this is my blood. Completely untrue. Anyone who's read Trent, which you obviously haven't, would know that. So you know nothing about the Catholic faith. You understand nothing. And anyone can say anything. Any heretic can say anything. Your words, your statements mean nothing. I refuted you on what you said about the apocalypse. You said that prophets doesn't refer to people in the end times. That's the dominant opinion. I refuted what you said on Titus 3:10. I point out Bellarmine's saying exactly what I'm saying. I refuted you on what you said on Acts 1:20. Where you're saying that means that we always have to have bishops, okay? Well, we didn't always have bishops in areas where the church was operating during the Arian crisis. The bottom line is you can't answer any of the heresies I brought up. You just ignore them. I mean, and see, when people are such liars, that they're not even fazed by the fact that they agree with the Lutherans on justification. The fact that John Paul II approved the Balamon statement, which says that it's outdated to seek the conversion of non-Catholics. They arranged for the worship even of idols at Assisi, which is apostasy. They praise Islam. They've been in mosques. They've taken part in the worship of Jews. St. John the Baptist asked for the protection of Islam. He asked for he thanked people for the spreading of Islamic culture. It teaches that Christ is united with each man forever. He teaches that the Holy Ghost is responsible for non-Catholic religions. They teach that non-Catholics may lawfully receive communion. I pointed out how that's contrary to traditional Catholic teaching. You have no response. You just ignore it because you don't believe in Catholic teaching. You could care less. You couldn't care less about Catholic teaching because you're not a Catholic. You don't even believe in Christ. You believe Jews who reject Christ could be in a state of grace, even though they know of Christ and reject him. You're not a Christian, so the fact that you talk about the Word of God, you don't even believe in the Word of God. You can't believe in the Word of God if you regard as Catholics people who respect and esteem false religions. They respect all religions, okay? They have signed agreements that we shouldn't even convert non-Catholics. Now, what we have to realize is that this crisis has been predicted. Jesus says that the abomination of desolation will be in the holy place. We see the great apostasy spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2 with the man of sin sitting in the temple of God. He talks about the deception being so profound that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. Okay, we have the great harlot, which is clearly contrasted with the bride of Christ. We've had anti-popes, we've had massive confusion, and so it's not incompatible whatsoever with the promises of Christ to his church to have a great apostasy. Look at the scandals, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, this isn't necessary in itself to prove the point, but you look at the fruits of that, the sex scandals, the mockery, the priesthood, they can't condemn even a pro-abortion politician. I mean, it is a church of total apostasy. It's not the Catholic Church. You are in communion with those who are pro-abortion. You can't even tell me that they're not even Catholic, because you're not Catholic. You have a profession of external faith with people who have publicly for years favored the murdering of children, okay, who reject the one teaching your sect claims to care about. They don't care about the papacy. They don't care about the necessity of Christ for salvation. They don't care about, you know, the integrity of only worshiping the true God. They couldn't care less about that, but they claim to care about abortion. But what do? They give, quote, communion and praise and declare as the servant of Christ those who favored abortion obstinately through their lives. It's a sect of apostasy, and if you can't see that they're not Catholic, well, then you are, at this point, not just you, but anyone who's seen the evidence, in total darkness. The religious indifferentism is everywhere in their writings. As I mentioned earlier, Benedict XVI explicitly says that Protestantism is not even heresy. What's the point in being Catholic, according to their heretical religion, if you believe they are Catholic, when they regard as Catholic those who are inside the church as having salvation, as representing an acceptable religion, those who are founding Protestant monasteries, leading schismatic delegations, and rejecting Vatican I? Of course they do. No one in his right mind who is honest could say Benedict XVI believes you have to be Catholic for salvation. He doesn't. To say that is a lie. And if you don't believe that, you're simply not a Catholic. That's a dogma. And so the doctors of the church all teach, who have addressed this issue, that a pope who would become a manifest heretic would automatically cease to be pope. It's critical that we understand that point. And this is so common in the teaching that even in the Great Western Schism, when they're trying to figure out how to resolve that crisis, they recognize that if you were presented with a persistently heretical claimant, he would not be considered pope. And that's why even the Catholic Encyclopedia, while not obviously definitive in itself, it taught that a person who is a heretic who claimed to be the pope would not be the pope. And that's why St. Antonitus says that a pope who is a heretic would automatically cease to be a member of the church, and he would therefore cease to be the head of the church. And I just wanted to give the quote here, because Leo XIII says, "It is absurd to imagine that he who is outside can command in the church." Innocent III said, in Aes Exemplo, "the one church, not of heretics." Here's a quote from St. Francis de Sales. "Now, when the pope is explicitly a heretic, he falls ipso facto from his dignity and out of the church." St. Robert Bellarmine says it. St. Antoninus says it. It flows from the dogma that heretics are not members of the church. And are they heretics? I mean, of course. If you don't believe they're heretics, after you've seen the evidence, if someone doesn't believe that, that person is just a liar. They, as I said, I mean, you could prove it literally from the teaching on Jews. John Paul II sent representatives to the commemoration of the Jewish synagogue, and he said that the Jews can boast of having spread Judaism. So is Benedict XVI addressed Chief Rabbi of Rome to... Okay, so I was going to stop.